Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Welcome into a Friday edition of the program. Of course, it is All Request Friday. 1-877-332-8255. Yes, Locker?
Got a thought on the movie tie-in with the All Request.
Nobody has an idea what you're talking about with the movie tie-in.
I know. This is more for you. So we're doing best worst movies of all time. Right?
We got into the debate about Roadhouse this morning in the Green Zone Lounge.
Wasn't a debate. You're wrong. Anyway,
but
we
you
could
admit
do...
it's a bad movie.
Yes, but it's a good bad movie. No, it might be one of the best
It's a bad movie.
But it's not bad. It's a good bad movie. We could do the same things with songs.
What's a good bad song?
What's a good bad song? Like, I got one. Starship.
That's a good, bad song.
We built this city. Awful song, but it's a good song. Right? Do you know where I'm going?
I'm interested in the answers we're about to receive on good, bad songs. And we want to know your good, bad movies. Or are they bad, good movies?
Roadhouse is a perfect example of a... It's so bad, it's good.
For the younger demographic.
The first one, too. Not that Conor McGregor thing.
Not that one. The first one. Patrick Swayze.
That's how we actually got into it, because we were talking about the possibility of a UFC event for July 4th next year for the United States of America's 250th birthday. And this sounds like it's going to happen. And then we were talking about the fact that Dana White mentioned that John Jones' bones might come out of retirement and Conor McGregor might come out of retirement for this event, and people are clawing to get into it, involved in it. And then we brought up the Roadhouse movie that was in, and then you dissed Roadhouse, and I was like, what? That's how we got there.
I think it's just a bad movie.
Well, you've been wrong before. We'll mark this one down as another occasion. It is a good bad movie.
1-877-332-8255. So Locker's asking you, any good bad songs out there you'd like to request on this Friday? I'm very interested in what people think are good bad songs.
I'm not wrong about Starship. Like, that is an awful song.
Let's get to the starting lineup. But it's a good song.
Some might put it into the good category. It's a good bad song.
We begin with the top sports headlines, and let's start with Thursday night football. Dramatic ending in Montreal last night.
Alexander keeps it again on the run. He's going to do it himself. Touchdown, Alouettes!
Yes, the Alouettes score late, make it 26-25, intercept Nick Arbuckle to close out the game. So Davis Alexander with that comeback win. They were down 25-7. And came back to win that game. Davis Alexander's record now 8-0 as a starter. That ties Danny McManus for the best start to a career as a starting quarterback. Issue, though, you might have heard Suter at the end. Listen closely.
Touchdown, Alouettes!
He says, uh-oh, because Davis Alexander grabbed the hamstring that he hurt earlier in the season that kept him out for two games. And he told Matthew Schenetti that he's probably going to miss more action. Matthew Schenetti is going to join us at 2:35 as well to talk more about that. And last night, how good that game's ending was. And what's going on with the Argos? Is Chad Kelly just going to fix all their problems after yet another loss?
We'll stick with the CFL, Jamie and I. Friday night football, baby.
You're gonna kick back, relax, watching football.
Stamps beat the Bombers at home in the new trophy game last, what was it?
The Stampede Bowl.
It was a Thursday night. The Bombers are coming off a bye week after falling to the Stamps. Calgary and Winnipeg each have one loss on the season. So tonight we got Stampeders in Winnipeg taking on the Blue Bombers. That is a 6:30 start. Your Saturday lineup in the CFL is the Rough Riders in Vancouver to take on the Lions, and then Sunday night tilt is the Ticats and the Red Blacks. What was your pick? What's your pick for the score for the game? Which tomorrow. One? Riders
changed it.
So what were you?
I was 28-20 on the Blitz podcast. By the way, the Blitz podcast is posted right now for your viewing pleasure on YouTube. Britton and I breaking down the last week's game and going into this week's game against the BC Lions.
The Blitz podcast is the fastest growing CFL podcast in Canada, ladies and gentlemen. Get it where you get your fine podcasts.
So I said 28-10 on the, or 28-20, sorry. 28-20 on the podcast. Now I bumped that up to 28-25. Still a Lions win, but I think it'll be a little bit closer because good news on the depth chart today.
Empty backfield. Harris. End zone. Touchdown. Samuel Emelis. His dad's to what he did last year and the year before in the end zone again.
Sam Emelis, who had 133 yards and a touchdown in the opening game of the season, has been missing since getting injured in game two. Is back on the depth chart. Tavon Campbell also returning after missing last week's game. You'll see the debut of two players in their CFL debut. Dre McCray will return kicks for the injured Mario Alford, and offensive lineman Darius Washington will make his debut at left tackle in for the injured Daniel Johnson. Tommy Neild and Caleb Sanders also added to the roster for this week's game. Tomorrow in BC against the Lions. 5 o'clock kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show tomorrow begins at 3 o'clock.
Does anybody care what my score prediction is? Riders 31-21, baby. We'll move on to golf. The Open Championship, day two.
You know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis.
Oh, he's the leader.
And you
I told you all. I knew it.
When did we play that?
That was Wednesday.
It was Tuesday or Wednesday. We played that interview, and at the end of it, you went, oh, he's going to win it. He's going to win the Open. When's the last time an American has won the Open? Is it Tiger?
No, it would have been Brian Harman a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't win the Open very often. Americans. Anyway, he's at the top of the leaderboard. Wait, conditions toughened over the day today. It was hit and miss as far as the weather goes. Rory is still in the mix. Like Jamie said, Scotty is in there. And I haven't checked. It was about 30 minutes ago I checked it. Connors wasn't through 18 yet.
He's finished.
Did he make the cut?
He's going to make the cut.
Okay, we got one Canadian in the mix for Saturday and Sunday at the Open.
Yeah.
At Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland.
So Scotty Scheffler. In fact, last year, the last two winners have been Americans. Xander Schauffele last year and Brian Harman the year before that won the Open Championship.
Bryson DeChambeau also bounced back today. Speaking of Americans.
Yeah, he was cooking today. A lot better than day one. So the Open Championship continues. Meanwhile, the second half of the season begins tonight.
The ball way back to left field, and that ball is out of here.
Yes, the last time the Jays entered the back half of the season in the division lead, they won the World Series in 1993. We're going to ask you a question, Jays fans, later today. It's similar to the Rough Riders Confidence Index, which, by the way, we will do next week after their sixth game, and they're one-third of the way through the season.
I was wondering when we do the confidence indexes for the Riders.
So for the Blue Jays, where's this season going? How confident are you for the Toronto Blue Jays? Of course, yes, the Yankees are probably going to be real good in the second half of the season. So where is this thing going? Are they going to lose a wild card match? How about an American League Divisional Series appearance? Maybe American League Championship Series appearance, or they're going to the World Series. There's another option. They completely tank and miss the playoffs. 1-877-332-8255.
I have them slipping a bit from where they are right now and having a similar finish to what they've had in the last couple of years, where they're dancing around that wild card position.
And if they make the playoffs, it's a quick exit?
It's a quick exit. I don't think they have the team yet. Unless they do something here before the trade deadline and they actually
do it. They have to do it. I think they
make a couple of moves. They need some help with the bullpen and maybe one positional player that gives them consistent bats.
So we're interested in your thoughts, Jays fans. What do you think is going to happen in the back half of the season? And real quick, an update on that 14U team. The Raiders out of Regina Moose Jaw, representing Canada at the Flag Football World Championships in the international side of things. They won two games yesterday. They have two games today. They're done their first game, and they are 3-0 with a 21-9 win over Puerto Rico
earlier
today. 3-0 start. They take on Mexico later this afternoon. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Congratulations to those young men down there representing Canada through Football Saskatchewan in the Regina Flag Football League, with a couple of kids from Moose Jaw added to the roster. 3-0 so far.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Puerto Rico.
Up next, Woo! Here on the Green Zone, Scotty Scheffler's the leader at the Open Championship, but one of his shots is going viral for a completely different reason. We'll break that down next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On Request Friday here in the Green Zone, we're getting some interesting answers to the question, what is a good, bad song? Walker believes it's Starship, We Built This City is an example of a good, like a bad song, but it's actually a good song.
It's on the list. We did get somebody text in, Corey Hart, no name on the text, Boy in the Box. I don't remember that song, but Corey Hart, Sunglasses at Night. That is a good, bad song.
How dare you? That is just a good song.
You and I are going to have a problem with this song conversation, I think, through the course of the day. That's not a good song.
The great Saskatchewanian Corey Hart, you're really going to bring that?
It's not a good song, but it's a great bad song.
1-877-332-8255, all request Friday on good bad songs. But songs you hate that you like.
That's what it is. Exactly. I would never admit to liking Starships, We Built This City.
Like Rick Astley.
Ding! What's his big hit? Never Tear Us Apart or something like that?
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never. Yes. Have you heard him? No, stop it. Don't get me in on a wormhole here. We got to get to the fart gate here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what we really need to talk about. That's the topic Locker really wants to discuss right now, is who farted.
Scheffler. Oh, my God. What are you laughing about?
There was scandal at the Open Championship yesterday.
Wasn't Scotty.
It definitely wasn't Scotty.
You thought it was somebody in the booth?
I thought it was one of the broadcasters, the way the one guy just started chuckling. Like, the time you farted in here and I lost my mind. Like, that's what I thought was happening there. There's more to this story, apparently, Locker.
Well, I did do a little bit of research. It was not Scotty. It wasn't anybody in the booth. It was somebody close enough to one of the boom mics on the course, and this is not confirmed. I couldn't find confirmation of this, but officials from Portrush apparently removed the guy because he made a bit of a show of it. He was a spectator, and so they took him off the course. And it did sound like he may have made
If it was a spectator, he was really close to the microphone for it to pick that up.
He was working it. So he probably saw the boom mic, maybe shuffled a little bit closer.
In the Masters, he might have had to go to jail.
That's a good bad song.
All Request Friday, good bad songs. I think this is just a banger, to be quite honest.
Bring Matthew on.
1-877-332-8255. You want Matthew Schenetti of CFL and TSN's opinion on Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night? Is that just a good song or is it a good bad song, Matthew?
Or a bad song?
I think it's a good bad song. You know, you have to have the vibe for it.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm also old enough to remember that song being kind of parodied quite a bit. So yeah, no, it's a good bad song.
Matthew Schenetti of CFL on TSN last night.
I already like him.
Oh, you'll love Matthew. He's a good time. And he got to see a good time last night for Alouette fans.
Alexander keeps it again on the run. He's going to do it himself. Touchdown, Alouette!
As I mentioned, you heard Suter go, uh-oh, because he grabbed the hamstring again for Davis Alexander. But let's just start off with the 8-0 start to this young man's starting career. The comeback last night. Again, this kid shows moxie every time he's got the chance as a starting quarterback, Matt.
I think we saw the birth of a star last night in this league, and we've been looking for a brand new young quarterback. Certainly Trey Ford, certainly Nathan Rourke have that Canadian content aspect, but Davis Alexander just has something. I mean, he doing the post-game interview with him, and he's missing about half of three of his teeth. He's just pulled his hamstring again. And yet he's talking about his teammates, talking about their gut, their willingness to come back 18 points down to the Argos, who, credit to the Argos, they gave as good as they could. But the Alouettes just have that championship. I'll use your word, Jamie, that moxie. It just runs through their team. You saw big plays when they needed to be made by their big stars, Darnell Sankey, Kabion Anto, Marc-Antoine Dequa. But crucially, it was Davis Alexander. And he will kind of reject any notion that he's anointed, especially when you look at the 8-0 start. But the way that he played the game, especially towards the end, in a game where he had, for the first time, I think, out of adversity, physically and on the scoreboard, and he came through.
Matthew, I don't want to get too sidetracked by this, but the games are probably a little bit more tolerable in Montreal with the air horn ban this year?
Just a little bit. I mean, you know what? Here's the deal. I mean, I'm there in spot duty for Kenzie Lalonde, and she's got to deal with it much more than. And let's also give a shout out to my good friend Didier Omouchous with our French friends at RDS. He's had to deal with it for a long time. But what was amazing last night was the crowd. And I had I've been so blessed to cover the Canadian Football League since halfway through the 2011 season. So I hadn't had an opportunity to see the energy in Montreal the way it was, the way they talked about in the Calvillo years, the Cahoon years. To see it last night, and especially the last couple of years, but last night in those final 3 minutes. And you know, I kind of gave it a little back to my good colleague Luke Wilson. Kind of, I won't say final 3 minutes, but he certainly has his strategic opinions about it. But I have been around. I've been blessed to do a lot of broadcasts. The energy in that stadium in the final 3 minutes, when Derek Sluka goes ahead and gets provokes the fumble that Travis McFadden then goes over, and then the Owls get the ball back, and then Davis Alexander runs a touchdown, and it was vibrating in there. And that's so much fun to watch in Montreal, because certainly we all know the cliche that Montreal loves a winner, sure, but Montreal loves to have a good time, and the Owls right now at 4-2 are definitely a good time.
Okay, you mentioned Luke Wilson. He actually joined us on the Green Zone yesterday. And here's the thing. Long-form Luke Wilson, I think a lot of CFL fans will grow to love. Short-form Luke Wilson with 140 characters on Twitter can come off as a bit abrasive, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, but that's the competitor in him.
Oh,
yeah. He is still that tight end. Yeah, I mean, if anyone has ever watched Luke Wilson play, he played with guts, and he put his heart on the line every single play. So he's going to put his heart on the line in every single tweet, too. And far be it for me to be his editor. There are guys at TSN who are paid much more than me, who are paid to kind of quote-unquote supervise him, as Luke pointed out in a Province article a little while ago. But here's the thing about what's been great to have him a part of the CFL family now. He has accepted the game, and you know, I mean, I have an open invitation for him to come to the Hamilton for Labor Day, so he can see what Ticat fans are really about. That's up to him.
Well, that needs to happen. Please roll cameras on that.
but I will say this: it has been a breath of fresh air for a guy who although Canadian, not growing up in our league, going to Rice, then having the NFL career that he did, winning a Super Bowl, for him to be a part of the league and to watch the fans. You're absolutely right, Jamie. Long form Luke Wilson, in person Luke Wilson. I can tell you, I have been around him during Friday nights. They love him. And you saw in Regina last week, the fans took to him as well. So, well, you know, everyone has to kind of acclimatize. I did. I had to acclimatize to the CFL family myself in those first few years. But the one thing, as we're going to see tonight, not to segue it to what is going to be an incredible emotional moment, but we're going to see tonight, and Luke is going to be there tonight in Winnipeg, he is going to see what the CFL family really is about when they welcome home their favorite son, Milt Stegall.
We will get more into the Milt thing, but I just want a quick sidebar. Just on Twitter, I don't know if I caught it right or wrong, Matthew. Do you agree with Luke on his idea that the 3 minute endings in the CFL aren't that exciting?
No. Well, my point was this: the final 3 minutes can sometimes, if the game is a snoozer, and we've had a few snoozers in the CFL, it can drag on and on because the game clock does stop. But last night was the perfect example of why, as Mark Trestman himself said, and he's got a resume in American football just as long, if not longer, than Luke Wilson's, he said no lead is safe. And that is the wonderful, I won't call it quirk, but I'll call it the detail, the shade, the different permutation in our league.
Love that about the CFL. You know,
in the final 3 minutes, no matter if you are down, no matter if you are up, you have a chance. And I think that's the wonderful thing about what this league is. It's a peculiarity among a lot of peculiarities in our league, but it is the one that we, I think, you know, probably next to the Rouge, and that brings as much debate out as anything. But that, the yard off, yeah, sure, they all are little details of our game, but those final 3 minutes are like anything else in professional sports. And we can all think of moments, and right now, the one last night is front of mind. But those, I mean, McLeod Bethel Thompson and his great comeback against the Ottawa Red Blacks, certainly a few years ago, comeback against Justin Crumback the last few years. All of those tell you exactly why this league is so beloved by its fans, because anything can happen those final 3 minutes. Now, does that happen with regularity? No. So my point in that tweet was, yeah, sometimes it ain't pretty, but nights like last night make you love the league.
Yeah, there's been so many comebacks that don't happen without the three-minute rules
100%.
That come into place in CFL history. But Matthew, let's we talked about Davis Alexander, the injury probably week to week, hopefully not much longer than that. But the other injury that's talked about out east is another quarterback. And when is Chad Kelly coming back next week? Like they said, maybe week four, and then it got to week seven. They need this guy back behind center because Nick Arbuckle is making that one or two too many mistakes that are costing the Toronto Argonauts.
I think what we're seeing right now is the Argos are, well, before the season, the Argos lost a fair amount of veterans, a fair amount of leaders on their team that led them to the Grey Cup. I think of Deshaun Amos, I think of Florian Arruda-Lade. But right now we're seeing with all the injuries they've dealt with, and I'm going to, he won't say it himself, but I will say it because I watch him up close. Whit McManus is playing on one leg. He is literally playing on one leg right now. He's got a knee that's heavily braced, but in between series, I watched him last night late in the game. He's pacing back and forth, just keeping that knee warm so it doesn't lock up on him or become unbearable. Then you have the unfortunate situation that happened to the most outstanding offensive lineman, Ryan Hunter. I mean, I live basically across the street from where the Argos practice facility is at BMO Field, and I can tell you, riding a scooter in downtown Toronto with a man the size of Ryan Hunter may not be advisable given the amount of collisions that happen in this city, and anyone's car insurance in the city of Toronto can pretty much show you that. But Chad Kelly coming back would be huge for them, and this is why. There are a lot of throws that a lot of quarterbacks can make in the CFL. There are only a few throws that only Chad Kelly can make, and that is his supreme talent. But right now, even though he has said, and Paul Appelese said this at the start of the season, that Chad Kelly went up to him and said, I'm close, I know I'm close, I'm almost there, that is always going to be a competitor saying that he or she will be available when they're called upon. But according to Ryan Dinwiddie, Chad Kelly is not there yet. So he is splitting time training in Toronto and Buffalo, really working on the power and stability in his right leg. Because if he pushes off and he tries pocket. He tries to break contain. He tries to go off platform. And his leg isn't strong enough. A re-injurance or a reoccurrence of that knee or that leg injury, excuse me, would be horrible for him because that was a gruesome injury. So I imagine mentally, Jack Kelly thinks he's all the way back, but the Argos are being very, very cautious. But you're right. You think about that, you know, being precautionary, but also that record of 1-5, and the margin for error is now gone for the Argos. This is something Ryan has experienced during his time to the Toronto Argonauts, a 1-5 team. This is a team that routinely is either at the top of the East or competing to be at the top of the East. They are now with the Ottawa Redblacks in the cellar, and I don't know what their road back is, but it certainly has to include Jack Kelly.
Matthew Schenetti, TSN, covers the CFL. I saw your piece with Trevor Harris, Matthew. You did a great job. I was interested because of his disposition. Is that fair? He just seems to be really relaxed right now. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I did. And I've there are two guys in this league that I've been lucky to know throughout their careers and know them quite well and count them as friends. That's Trevor Harris and Zach Collaros. We all came the same season, and all of us are around the same age, and it gives you a different perspective on an athlete when you're the same age as they are, and you go through your career on the media side, but closely watch and parallel their career in the professional sports space. And I saw Zach Collaros after his concussions, certainly after his time in Saskatchewan, come to a realization that it was time to enjoy the game. That I'm not going to say the pressure in Saskatchewan got to him. That's not that at all. But he had to come to a point of peace in his life. And that ended up with him getting to Winnipeg and finally winning that Grey Cup on his own. Their journeys are not dissimilar. Certainly, Collaros has, and I know Riders fans are making all kinds of jokes about Collaros in big games and championship games. The fact of the matter is, he's got two rings, and that's more than certainly, and I'm not trying to get the ire up of Riders fans, it's more than the Riders have now. But Trevor Harris is in that space right now. He's found that space in Regina. He's found that space with Corey Mace. This is a guy who has been successful, said it in that piece, all across the league. He became a quarterback for the Toronto Argonauts, had some issues with their personal his contract situation, went to Ottawa, was given the reins, battled Henry Burris, had those reins taken away from him, and certainly Rick Campbell, that is his prerogative in that moment to make that decision to go with Henry Burris, and it worked out. But Trevor Harris watched, yet again, as he mentioned, twice in Toronto and then in Ottawa, a Grey Cup win without him being the starting quarterback. And then he goes to Edmonton, and then he goes to Montreal. And and through all that, he sets completion records. He gets 4,000-yard seasons. He becomes one of the most efficient quarterbacks, the most accurate quarterbacks in CFL history. But there's always been this thing with Trevor that he's always felt like, I have to add something else. I have to, Matt, you'll hear him say this constantly. I have to master my craft. That's why he took up tap dancing early in his career for his footwork in the pocket. That's why he went to Tom Brady's Institute. But you're seeing now the calmness of someone who knows who he is, who understands and accepts that if he gets into a rhythm, nobody can stop Trevor Harris. Literally nobody. He is close to near perfect as you want to be, irrespective of whether or not it's a 7-yard throw or a 20-yard throw or 15 yards, it doesn't matter. He is nearly unstoppable. But he has to now, and I was getting this sense as I was speaking to him, he certainly has a singular focus in winning that championship, but I don't think he's at this point where he thinks he has to add something. He's obsessing over, I need this tool, I need to do this, I need to do that. He, though, really wants to win, and he's talked about envisioning it. He really wants to win a Grey Cup as a starting quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He has really taken to the city. He has taken to the culture. He's told me it reminds him of when he was at Edinburgh College in Pennsylvania in his college days. So and we'll see. I mean, they've had a strong start to the season if it's going to end up with him in November in Winnipeg.
Well, Matthew, always appreciate your time. Great stuff as always. And I know you're keeping busy. You got the soccer beat. You have the CFL beat. You're all over the place. World Cup next year.
World Cup? You're doing the World Cup, Matthew?
I am. And
nice.
Yeah, this is. You know what? I know it doesn't mean to sound flippant. I'm a lucky guy, but I will say this: it continues to be. Call anytime, people out there in Regina, and you know what? I think it's going to be a strong year for the Riders, but yeah, it's a special time, and I'm pretty excited to be a part of all of it.
Right on, Matthew. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
That is Matthew Schenetti, CFL on TSN. Is coming up next, where you remember a day of perfection on this day in sports history on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, it was July the 18th of the year 1999. The Montreal Expos go into New York to visit the New York Yankees. And let's just say it wasn't the Expos day.
Popped up and playable. Gracious. A perfect save by David Cone.
David Cone gets a perfect game. It was Yogi Berra Day festivities honoring the Yankees' former catcher before the game. Don Larson throughout the ceremonial first pitch. Of course, they were the pitcher and the catcher for the 56 no-hitter for a perfect game by Don Larson. And then David Cone goes out and throws the 16th perfect game in Major League Baseball history as they beat the Expos 6-0. I'll be honest, Locker. Just talking about sports history with the Expos as a part of it. Damn, I want that team to come back.
You know what? I probably see more Expos ball hats than Jays.
You might be right now that I think of it. That logo is a top-notch logo, though.